blessings. Blessings and good morning. Talking to our breakfast, which happens all the time, talking to our girls today over breakfast, we asked them what makes today good, and they had a few answers. And my wife said she read something this week that struck her. It was a profound thought on today. Through the cross, we are a rescued people. And a freed people are a singing people. And if you think of that, nations and people groups that have been released from captivity, the joy and the exuberance of freedom from bondage. Today tells the story of a rejoicing people. Would you pray with me? Father God, we gather here this morning to worship and to honor you. We wish to lay aside all encumbrances, all anxieties, all thoughts of the outside world so that we can focus singularly on worshiping you. For Christ is good, and he has led a people out of captivity. For that we praise you. Amen. Would you stand with me? I will read Matthew 26, 36 and following, and then we will sing together. And this morning will be about scripture and song. Then Jesus went with them to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." And taking with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, he began to be sorrowful and troubled. He said to them, "My soul is very sorrowful, even to death. Remain here and watch with me. I'm going a little further." And he fell on his face and prayed, saying, "My Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." And he came to the disciples and found them sleeping. And he said to Peter, "So you could not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit is indeed willing, but the flesh is weak." Again, for the second time, he went away and prayed, "My Father, if this cannot pass unless I drink it, your will be done." And again he came and found them sleeping, for their eyes were heavy. So leaving them again, he went away and prayed for a third time, saying the same words. And then he came to the disciples, and he said to them, "Sleep and take your rest later on. See, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand."
He is alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are still. Scorned by the ones he came to save, till Lord that stands in victory. Since Christ has lost its grip on me, for I am His and He is mine, bought with the precious blood of Christ. No guilt in life, no fear in death. This is the power of Christ in me. First cry to final breath, Jesus commands my destiny. No power of hell, no scheme of men can ever pluck me from His hand, till He returns or calls me home. Here in the power of Christ I stand.
Mark 14, verses 43 to 50. And immediately, while He was still speaking, Judas came, one of the 12, and with him a crowd with swords and clubs, from the chief priests and the scribes and the elders. Now the betrayer had given them a sign, saying, "The one I will kiss is the man. Seize him and lead him away under guard." And when he came, he went up to him at once and said, "Rabbi," and he kissed him. And they laid hands on him and seized him. But one of those who stood by drew his sword and struck the servant of the high priest and cut off his ear. And Jesus said to them, "Have you come out as against a robber with swords and clubs to capture me? Day after day I was with you in the temple teaching, and you did not seize me, but let the scriptures be fulfilled." And they all left him and fled.
Then those who had seized Jesus led him to Caiaphas the high priest, where the scribes and the elders had gathered. And Peter was following him at a distance as far as the courtyard of the high priest. And going inside, he sat with the guards to see the end. Now the chief priests and the whole council were seeking false testimony against Jesus that they might put him to death. But they found none, though many false witnesses came forward. At last, two came forward and said, "This man said, 'I am able to destroy the temple of God and rebuild it in 3 days.'" And the high priest stood up and said, "Have you no answer to make? What is it that these men testify against you?" But Jesus remained silent. And the high priest said to him, "I adjure you by the living God, tell us if you are the Christ, the Son of God." Jesus said to him, "You have said so. But I tell you, from now on, you will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of the power and coming on the clouds of heaven." Then the high priest tore his robes and he said, "He has uttered blasphemy. What further witness do we need? You have now heard his blasphemy. What is your judgment?" They answered, "He deserves death." Then they spit in his face and struck him, and some slapped him and said, "Prophesy to us, Christ. Who is it that struck you?" May the Lord bless the reading of His word. Let's stand together and we'll sing "Man of Sorrows."
Accused, beaten, marred. I'll be reading from Luke 23. Then the whole company of them arose and brought him before Pilate, and they began to accuse him, saying, "We found this man misleading our nation and forbidding us to give tribute to Caesar, and saying that he himself is Christ, a king." And Pilate asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" And he answered him, "You have said so." Then Pilate said to the chief priests and the crowds, "I find no guilt in this man." But they were urgent, saying, "He stirs up the people, teaching throughout all Judea, from Galilee even to this place." When Pilate heard this, he asked whether the man was a Galilean. And when he learned that he belonged to Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him over to Herod, who was himself in Jerusalem at that time. When Herod saw Jesus, he was very glad, for he had long desired to see him, because he had heard about him and was hoping to see him see some sign done by him. So he questioned him at some length, but he made no answer. The chief priests and scribes stood by vehemently accusing him, and Herod with his soldiers treated him with contempt and mocked him. Then, arraying him in splendid clothing, he sent him back to Pilate. And Herod and Pilate became friends with each other that very day, for before this they had been at enmity with each other. Pilate then called together the chief priests and the rulers of the people and said to them, "You brought me this man as one who was misleading the people, and after examining him before you, behold, I do not find this man guilty of any of your charges against him. Neither did Herod, for he sent him back to us. Look, nothing deserving of death has been done by him. I will therefore punish and release him." But they cried out together, "Away with this man and release to us Barabbas, a man who had been thrown into prison for insurrection, started in the city, and for murder." Pilate addressed them once more, desiring to release Jesus, but they kept shouting, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" A third time he said to them, "Why, what evil has he done? I found in him no guilt deserving of death. I will therefore punish and release him." But they were urgent, demanding with loud cries that he should be crucified, and their voices prevailed. So Pilate decided that their demand should be granted, and he released the man who had been thrown into prison for insurrection and for murder, for whom they had asked, but he delivered Jesus over to their will.
This reading is from John 19, verses 1 to 22. Then Pilate took Jesus and flogged him, and the soldiers twisted together a crown of thorns and put it on his head and arrayed him in a purple robe. They came up to him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews," and struck him with their hands. Pilate went out again and said to them, "See, I am bringing him out to you, that you may know that I find no guilt in him." So Jesus came out, wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. And Pilate said to them, "Behold the man." When the chief priests and the officers saw him, they cried out, "Crucify him, crucify him." And Pilate said to them, "Take him yourselves and crucify him, for I find no guilt in him." The Jews answered him, "We have a law, and according to that law he ought to die, because he has made himself the Son of God." When Pilate heard this statement, he was even more afraid. He entered his headquarters again and said to Jesus, "Where are you from?" But Jesus gave him no answer. So Pilate said to him, "You will not speak to me? Do you not know that I have authority to release you and authority to crucify you?" And Jesus answered him, "You would have no authority over me at all unless it had been given you from above. Therefore, he who delivered me over to you has the greater sin." From then on, Pilate sought to release him, but Jesus cried out. The Jews cried out, "If you release this man, you are not Caesar's friend. Everyone who makes himself a king opposes Caesar." So when Pilate heard those words, he brought Jesus out and sat down on the judgment seat at a place called the Stone Pavement, and in Aramaic, Gabbatha. Now it was the day of preparation of the Passover. It was about the sixth hour. He said to the Jews, "Behold your king." They cried out, "Away with him, away with him, crucify him." And Pilate said to them, "Shall I crucify your king?" And the chief priests answered, "We have no king but Caesar." So he delivered him over to them to be crucified. So they took Jesus, and he went out, bearing his own cross, to the place called the place of the skull, which in Aramaic is called Golgotha. There they crucified him, and with him two others, one on either side, and Jesus between them. Pilate also wrote an inscription and put it on the cross, and it read, "Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." Many of the Jews read this inscription, for the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city, and it was written in Aramaic, in Latin, and in Greek. So the chief priests of the Jews said to Pilate, "Do not write 'the King of the Jews,' but rather, 'This man said, I am the King of the Jews.'" Pilate answered, "What I have written, I have written."
When the soldiers had crucified Jesus, they took his garments and divided them into four parts, one part for each soldier, also his tunic. But the tunic was seamless, woven in one piece from top to bottom. So they said to one another, "Let us not tear it, but cast lots for it to see whose it shall be." This was to fulfill the scripture which says, "They divided my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots." So the soldiers did these things, but standing by the cross of Jesus were his mother and his mother's sisters, Mary, the wife of Clopas, his mother's sister, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that hour, the disciple took her to his home. After this, Jesus, knowing that all was now finished, said to fulfill the scripture, "I thirst." A jar full of sour wine stood there. So they put a sponge full of the sour wine on a hyssop branch and held it to his mouth. When Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, "It is finished." and he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. Since it was the day of preparation, and so that the bodies would not remain on the cross on the Sabbath, for that Sabbath was a high day, the Jews asked Pilate that the legs might be broken and that they may be taken away. So the soldiers came and broke the legs of the first and of the other one who had been crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was already dead, they did not break his legs. But one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, and at once there came out blood and water. He who saw it has borne witness. His testimony is true, and he knows that he is telling the truth, that you also may believe. For these things took place that the scripture might be fulfilled. Not one of his bones will be broken. And again, another scripture says, they will look on him whom they have pierced. After these things, Joseph of Arimathea, who was a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews, asked Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus, and Pilate gave him permission. So he came and took away his body. Nicodemus also, who earlier had come to Jesus by night, came bringing a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 75 pounds in weight. So they took the body of Jesus and bound it in linen cloths and spices, as is the burial custom of the Jews. Now, in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden a new tomb which had not yet been laid. So because of the Jewish day of preparation, since the tomb was close at hand, they laid Jesus there.
Since my faith I You can be seated. Let's pray together. Father, we're so grateful for the work of Christ Jesus. We're so grateful that you loved us. And we're so grateful that even this morning we can remember this pinnacle of your love and justice, where you showed how seriously you really take sin, where you showed us your holiness and your wrath outpoured, and at the same time showed us the deep love that you have bestowed on your people, that you would sentence us to eternal death and then step in the way to receive our due punishment. We give you praise and glory. Amen. Death is never a comfortable subject for us. And even less so is the subject of death as a sacrifice. Ancient people, however, and certainly ancient Israelites, were well acquainted with sacrificing animals to secure a right relationship with the divine. But what set Israel's relationship with the one true God apart from pagan worship was that while the pagans thought their false deities relied on the worship and sacrifices they offered, the true God does not need anything at all, and he cannot be manipulated by what we could provide. Instead, he provides a sacrifice for his people to eat before him. Now, in ancient times, they would sit and eat what God had supplied, the meat of the sacrificial animal, along with bread and wine that accompanied every offering. Every physical and moral uncleanness was an opportunity to come and receive the mercy of God, and through such meals, God's people were able to commune with him. Now, you and I have not brought a sacrifice today, because the sacrifice has already been made through the activity of Jesus Christ, which we have read about this morning, and we remember and give heed to this story. In Hebrews 9:26b to 28, it says, Christ has appeared once for all at the end of the ages to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And just as it was appointed for man to die once, and after that comes judgment, so Christ, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, will appear a second time, not to deal with sin, but to save those who are eagerly waiting for him. And we, church, have a table set before us now, a ritual meal to remind ourselves regularly of our desperate need as sinners and the hope we have in Christ as we eagerly wait for his return. But you should notice we have only the accoutrement. There is no sacrifice, only the accompanying bread and wine. We are welcomed to partake of the Lord's table, to commune with his people, without bringing anything at all. We only need to entrust ourselves to the once-for-all sacrifice of Christ and give him our allegiance. There is one mediator between God and men, the man Jesus Christ. And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved.
Your will be done, my God and Father. self-exalting. Help me seek your kingdom first. As Jesus walked, so I shall walk. Held by your same unchanging love. Be still my soul. Oh, lift your voice and pray. Father, not my will, but yours be done. How in the garden he persisted, I may never fully know the fearful weight of true obedience. It was held by him alone. What wondrous hope for bear the cross to bear my sin. What wondrous love. My hope was sure. Were there my Savior prayed, Father, not my will, but yours be done. When I am lost, when I am broken, in the night of fear and doubt, still I will trust in my good Father. Yes, to one great King I bow. As Jesus rose, so I shall rise in ransom glory at the throne. My heart restored with all your saints I sing. Father, not my will but yours be done. As we go forth, our God and Father, lead us safely in the fight. That all the world might see your glory and your name be lifted high. And in this name we overcome, for you shall see us safely home. Now as your church we lift our voice and pray, Father, not my will but yours be done. Same, we overcome, for you shall see us safely home. Now as your church, we lift our voice and pray, Father, not my will, but yours be done. Father, not my will, but yours be done. Father, not my will, but yours be done. Watch and pray, find in me thine all in all. As Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow. Jesus paid it all.
to save, my lips shall still be clean. As Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow. As Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow.
Let me send you with a benediction this morning from Colossians 1:13. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. And you, who were once alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, he has now reconciled in the body of his flesh by his death, in order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before him, if indeed you continue in the faith, stable and steadfast, not shifting from the hope of the gospel that you have heard, which has been proclaimed in all creation. Go with this blessing. Remember what Christ has done, and remember your call, church.